Lothar Phillips, the golden voice of the great Southwest, and you're listening to Lothar's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. Coyote sat there waiting for someone to play tricks on, wasn't hesitating. Came to me in a dream last night, said she was Richard Nixon. Yep, that's Coyote all right. Here we are again, radio station KVMR, here in our Bush League Shangri-La in the mountains, the foothills of the Sierra. Shangri-La had a radio station. This would damn sure be the one. And it's here in Nevada City. Only yesterday I had the privilege, speaking of Coyote, of watching Lowell Robinson shoveling plastic ducks into a bag. Old Coyote. Coyote the trickster. Tracks are hard to follow. There are nonetheless numerous people who try to walk in them, or at least be guided by them. We're going to listen to some songs and tell some tales about some of those folks today. My old friend, Al Grierson, well, I met him so many years ago, maybe 25, almost 30 years ago, up in Vancouver, British Columbia. Al was born in, oh, I guess around 1948. He's 53 now. When I met him, he was editing an underground newspaper called Georgia Strait. Well, Al left Vancouver and checked into a monastery down there in the foothills of Mount Shasta. 5 years in that monastery with Roshi Jiyu Kunet. It was the first woman certified in Japan as a Zen master. She got an old motel at the foot of Mount Shasta, originally built as a vacation retreat for employees of the Shasta Bottling Company. Well, he was ordained a novice there, stayed there for 5 years, left, got married, opened a tofu chip factory in Ashland, Oregon, but nobody seemed to want them. Well, he's now down in Leukenbach, Texas, living in a school bus, and he sat down at his little tape recorder there, and he recorded me a song about the coyote that I really wanted. Well, first off, let's listen to a Cheyenne Sundance, and then a poem that I rather fancy, and then Al Grierson sing an old coyote. This is the middle. The kitchen is full of mice, Dutch mice in wooden shoes with tulips in their coats. They don't like ice cubes from the refrigerator, handwritten letters, or lukewarm coffee. They think they're you. Questions come from bones. Bones are rocks, and rocks are mountains, and mountains are where time goes when it doesn't want to play anymore. Break it open. Time, and you'll find a mountain just like that. And in the mountain, a rock, only it's you in your bones. Bones are chains and the way people get caught in one another. Chains, bones, and fishnets, and tongues. A tongue can become a boat if you blink long enough and go south far enough. A boat to catch people in. This is the middle. Be careful. You'll find a mountain here. Break it open. Don't ask questions. They turn your tongue to bone. Blink. Don't cry. The wood here is very old, and what is buried in it has been buried here for thousands of years. Your tears could wet it. Wake it. Wood is the shape of ancestors. Be still.
I've been reading all about it in the annals of some ancient lore. How you were smuggled through the garden by the angel at the basement door. And while the serpent in the branches held the mother of the world beguiled, you were pissing on the tree of knowledge while the good Lord smiled, old coyote. Little brother of necessity, the seeker and the sacred clown, old coyote. You're the fire in the water and the diamonds in the cold, cold ground. On the mountaintop with Moses and with Daniel in the lion's den. In a bedroom with Delilah, in the hollow, in the hearts of men. On the hill on Friday evening when the soldiers rolled them bones. In the garden Sunday morning when they rolled away the stone, old coyote. On the edges of eternity, dancing through the crack of dawn, old coyote. With a pearly white Madonna and the devil with the blue dress on. In the bed between the traveling salesman and the farmer's daughter. At the elbow of the preacher when the wine turned back to water. In the cabin of a smoking locomotive on a high-speed train. Between the Tower of Babel and the cities of the plain, old coyote. You're a 30-carat Buddha in a barrel full of old tin cans, old coyote. Just a loose screw messing with the engine of our best laid plans. Now there's an ancient city hidden deep beneath the waves. It was founded on the principles of justice and the sweat of slaves. And I heard a lot about it in a New Age gospel hymn. But I ain't ever gonna wade in any water where the fish won't swim, old coyote. In a vertical position while the world walks upside down, old coyote. At the center of the circle while the wheel goes round and round. Now there's a big wind blowing down the cities from the outlaw trail. You can even hear it whistle in the belly of the great white whale. Hear it howling through the desert where Ezekiel saw the wheel. From the breath upon the water to the breaking of the seventh seal. Is this the end of history? Or just a wagon full of roses standing at the gates of Rome. The devil's army on the deep blue sea. Or just the legions of the lonely, only looking for the long way home. 'Cause there's an angel with a trumpet in the graveyard where the night wind groans. Hear it echo from the brothel on the bayou where the black snake moans. To the playboy mansion from the penthouse to the pool. From the palace of the kingdom to the alley where the mad dogs rule, waiting for the Holocaust, waiting for the fire that was promised at the end of time, waiting for the Pentecost, hiding like a phoenix in the ashes and the ice-cold lime, old coyote. At the center of the chaos, waiting since the Lord knows when, old coyote. Gonna wait a little longer till it all comes round again. Little brother of necessity, the seeker and the sacred clown. You're the fire in the water, and the diamonds in the cold, cold ground. A 30-carat Buddha in a barrel full of old tin cans. Just a loose screw messing with the engine of our best laid plans, old coyote. In a vertical position while the world walks upside down, old coyote. At the center of the circle while the wheel goes round and round, old coyote. At the center of the circle while the wheel goes round and round.
Old Al Griffin. Isn't that a swell song? That a swell song. Yeah, Al's down there in that school bus. I talked to him a couple days ago. The school bus won't go anywhere. He hauls the water up from the bottom of the hill, but it does have an extension cord in it from a trailer down the hill. He's camped on a farm that raises armadillos. The armadillos are used for racing. My wife and I did that, some armadillo racing down there at Jerry Jeff Walker's birthday party. They also, he tells me, use them to make a serum to treat leprosy because apparently armadillos have a low-grade kind of leprosy. I wonder if St. Francis would have kissed an armadillo. Edward Fitzgerald and Woody Guthrie. Now, what on earth do they have in common? Edward Fitzgerald hardly ever left Somerset there in Britain. He was not a wanderer. He was more of a scholar and a deep thinker. In the 1850s, he nonetheless did translate the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, who was another deep thinker in Persia there, lived very, very simply in the corner of the palace and contemplated the stars. Well, I kind of agree with Rosalie Sorrells that there isn't any old-time over-the-road tramp who reads it all that doesn't know at least part of the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, even if they don't know where it came from. Now here's a recording, another one of those kitchen tapes that fell out of the sky right at my feet, and it's the damnedest thing. Listen to Woody Guthrie, and I think it's Cisco Houston singing the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam.
Give your money, not one penny spend, to learn the secret of your life, my friend. One little hair divides the false and true, and all that little hair, it starts and ends. One hair, I guess, divides the false and true, false and true. Find this one hair, no matter what you do, This hair will lead you to the drinking room, and to the wives of your great landlord, too.
Good place.
I rolled in pain down on that sawdust floor,
the drinking floor.
I prayed to heaven to open its golden door. I groaned and yelled, how long must I roll here? You must roll here till you are you no more.
You no more.
I wasted lots of hours in a hot pursuit of this and that argument and dispute. Better to kiss the lip with laughing grapes than eating sad or proud or bitter fruit. I'm glad I went off on my big carouse and took my second wife into my house. Divorced old dried up reason out of my bed. Took this daughter of the vine to spouse. What is and isn't, I prove by rule and line. And up and down by logic I define. I guess you thought I was a deep, wise man. I never went deep in anything but wine. My drinking door eased open last night late. I saw a lady with an angel shape.
Pretty girl.
She handed me a glass of wisdom juice. I drank it down and found that the juice was great. This grapey juice can prove a billion things. Can make our racial haters dance in rings. Can make our 72 fighting priests and princes sing sinful songs and tease my king and queen, queens and kings both. God grow my good wine, then would he dare?
He wouldn't dare
to make my vine a grape, a trap, and a snare. I drank my wine and I bless your sweet red mouth. If wine's a curse, well then who set it there?
Woody Guthrie, and I do think that that was his friend Cisco Houston, the Rubaiyat. I may be mistaken. I've never heard that in my life. I've listened to Woody all my life, and I think that might be the first time that that's ever been played on the radio. You let me know if I speak the truth or not. Woody had lived there in Oklahoma there at Okemah when he was a boy. His sister was burned to death in a house fire. It had quite an effect on his life. And that's what made... years later, he was living in Coney Island with his wife, Marge. They had a little girl named Kathy. And Kathy burned to death in a house fire. And it was doubly awful for Woody. Martha Ledbetter, who was Lead Belly's wife, had made little Kathy a doll, a black doll. And she loved it, called it Rosalie. Well, when Kathy was burned to death, Woody adopted that doll and took it with him every place he went. That story was told by Woody Guthrie's daughter, his older daughter, to my friend Rick Polieri, who's the Polish bagpipe player from up there in northern Vermont. And he sat down and made up this song called Rosalie.
Old Rosalie came calling to me one night when the chilly winds blew. Behind a glass wall, this old black rag doll spoke in a voice Woody knew. I'll always be your Rosalie, come hold me in your strong arms. Whisper to me a lost memory, I'll keep you safe and warm. chocolate brown face, stringy black hair, dressed in an old cotton gown. A present from Martha, Leadbelly's wife, for Kathy in old New York town. I'll always be your Rosalie, come hold me in your strong arms. Whisper to me a lost memory, I'll keep you safe and warm. Now Woody was tough, his life seen enough of hard luck, trouble, and pain. With a smirk or a grin, he held it all in and hit the old road once again. But the day Kathy died, he just lay down and cried, dried his tears in the sand. That night that he wept, he would never forget when he held on to Rosalie's hand. Oh, Rosalie, I'll always be safe in your black loving arms. Whisper to me a lost memory, I'll keep you safe and warm. I'll always be your Rosalie, come hold me in your strong arms. Whisper to me a lost memory, I'll keep you safe and warm. Old Rosalie came calling to me one night when the chilly winds blew.
That's my old friend Rick Pugliari. He carries around those bagpipes and a banjo and a guitar and a didgeridoo wherever he goes and plays. That's why his railroad moniker on the freight trains is a totem pole. Well, I've been walking around with a bit of a limp and feeling kind of pained these days. I was out kind of doing a mild jog around the city cemetery there up off of Red Dog Road, and I had a brand new pair of huaraches from Mexico, and the tread on the huaraches was made out of old Firestone tire, and I blew out a huarache and stumbled, rolled two or three times, and I've been limping around ever since, all of which is by way of reminding us that this is your sermon for this Sunday, folks, that those tires, those Firestone tires that are blowing out, were made by replacement workers. Now, replacement worker these days is a euphemism for what altogether now? A scab. We got to remember that. Well, here, let's do an old poem, The Scab's Lament, and this is certainly a friend of the coyote. This one will be recited by Studs Terkel.
The Scab's Lament. It's a poem that was distributed among striking workers in New York City in 1886. By the way, at the same time as the Haymarket Affair in Chicago, the same year, the fight for the eight-hour day. But this poem was written during the great labor rising of that year. I am an anti-unionist, a low-lived go-between, a blackleg in the first degree, such is my language spleen. I alone it breaks my aching heart and almost drives me mad to hear the folks while passing by call me a noted scab. Had I kept on the common path, my fellow workmen tread, and not used foul or cowardly means to earn my daily bread, I would not need a police guard to escort me in a cab, nor would the boys yell rats at me, had I not been a scab. Even anarchists and socialists will battle for the right, but no earthly good was ever done by workmen of my type. They're always ready to step in and make things worse than bad, for matter will accumulate when covered by a scab. An outcast from humanity, I wander through the street, a foe to all my fellow men, and slurred by those I meet. I'm a Judas to the world at large. My dismal fate is sad. I'm branded with the countersigns of blackleg, rat, and scab.
he was, Kenny Hall, wafting by on this morning's breeze. What a fine musician. We're going to hear more from Kenny Hall later on in the program. An apocryphal story here that's always current hereabouts in the foothills of the Sierra and Nevada City. It won't mean a whole lot to people around the different parts of the country that listen to this, but you ought to know about it anyway. The story is that there was a fellow named Lyman Gilmore who many, many years ago built an airplane which is purported to have been the first airplane and that he flew it before the Wright brothers. Now, I've seen crumpled old photographs of something that looked like an airplane in a shed, but nobody seems to be able to verify or completely deny this, you see. So, a couple of days ago, I sat down and I made up a song about Lyman Gilmore. Now, by way of explanation, this song contains the name, you remember Amelia Earhart, and of course, Lucky Lindy is Charles Lindbergh, Billy Bishop. Billy Bishop was a First World War air ace, lived up in Owen Sound, Ontario. I've played a festival up there and visited his monument. Billy Bishop is the one who taught the Black Eagle of Harlem how to fly an airplane. The Black Eagle of Harlem, now let me digress. The Black Eagle of Harlem was Hubert Fauntleroy Julian, who was from Trinidad. In about 1893 he was born. He wanted to learn how to fly, so he migrated to Montreal, Canada. And it was there Billy Bishop saw him standing at the airport watching the planes come in and out and finally taught him how to fly. This the Black Eagle of Harlem, he was called. He learned how to parachute in New Jersey. He was the first black man to jump off of the Empire State Building with a parachute, and he lived. Tried to fly a seaplane to Europe, which foundered off the coast of New York. He ran guns into Guatemala. When Haile Selassie was coronated in Ethiopia, I think about 1933, he became Haile Selassie's first air marshal until he stacked up the emperor's favorite Sopwith camel and was discharged. Nobody knows he could still be out there. The last sighting of him, he would have been in his 70s, was running guns to Patrice Lumumba there in Katanga after the Belgians left the Belgian Congo. Now, if that isn't a role model for black kids in school, I don't know what is. And you don't hear anything about him anymore than you do Jack Johnson. Now, let's get busy. Anyway, back to Billy Bishop. Billy Bishop was had a dead eye. I mean, the man could really fly. The problem was that he couldn't land. So he'd go up and shoot down a slew of German, you know, the open cockpit Fokker tri-wings. And then when he went to land, he'd rip out the bottom of an airplane, so they just have to give him another airplane because he was good at it. They need to put him back up in the air. Billy Bishop, after he retired, became a representative for an aircraft company, and he went to Germany to sell aircraft parts. And there was a club there of German air aces. And who decorated. The club was headed by Hermann Goering, who was the First World War air ace in Germany. This was before the rise of the Nazi Party. And they invited Billy Bishop to come and speak to them, and he did. And then they solemnly lifted their glasses, stood up, and toasted him. They said, "You have destroyed more Allied aircraft than we ever did." And so they made him a member of the club. Nonetheless, back to this song, which is about the fellow Lyman Gilmore, who is purported to have flown the first airplane, and this is it. I've often heard a story our old-timers pass around of a mystical contraption in a shed outside of town. It really still needs answering. Did Lyman Gilmore really fly that thing? Did it fly? Did it get up off the ground? Did it roar and cough and rattle as it wobbled all around? Did little kids and birds and drunks tremble at the sound? Did Lyman Gilmore really fly that thing? I think about Amelia and Lucky Lindy too. Chuck Yeager, Billy Bishop, and I wonder is it true? 'Cause if he really did and the damn thing didn't fall, then Lyman was the daddy of them all. Did it fly? Did it get up off the ground? Did it roar and cough and rattle as it wobbled all around? Did little kids and birds and drunks tremble at the sound? Did Lyman Gilmore really fly that thing? Were the Wright brothers wrong? I guess we'll never know. Did his neighbor see St. Elmo's fire or just a UFO? Now we're all left to ponder and wonder as we sing. Did Lyman Gilmore really fly that thing? Did it fly? And did it get up off the ground? Did it roar and cough and rattle as it wobbled all around? Did little kids and birds and drunks tremble at the sound? Did Lyman Gilmore really fly that thing? They tell me if you linger on a balmy Brunswick night, our aviation pioneer pursues his phantom flight. So yes or no, or maybe when you hear that ghostly sound, that's Lyman Gilmore up there looking down. And did it fly? Did it get up off the ground? Did it roar and cough and rattle as it wobbled all around? Did little kids and birds and drunks tremble at the sound? Did Lyman Gilmore really fly that thing? Well, all right. A bit of foo-for-all fluff. Well, I'm you've passed along to me, and I feel like I ought to deal with this right now. On the issue of language, some of the community stations have written in or emailed in that they are surprised, awed, shocked, and chagrined at some of the language that emerges in a number of the songs that I play. I understand that trepidation. The FCC says there are certain things that are not legal to say on the people's radio waves. But I should point out that none of the, say, obscenity, and I seldom use profanity at all, none of the obscenity I use is gratuitous. It is not done for effect. It is done simply because it is part of the context that I'm dealing with. It's part of the song or the poem as it was written. And I do think there is room, you know. There's so much of that language is sexist, so much of that language is racist, and a classist, and you don't want to use it. But we could retool a language that's radio legal that would sound just as bad. Now, for instance, you could use father figure. Get away, you father figure. You could use bastitch. You could use cosucker, which is democratic, or scum of the rich. Right? You cosucking scum of the rich, you bastitch, you father figure. It sounds awful, doesn't it? But it's completely radio legal. Well, let's go for it. Look, let's have a little contest. Let's send me some suggestions for radio legal obscenities and things like that. I am generally appalled at what I hear on the radio, which most of your NPR stations out there are doing a really good job locally. You're holding it together. You're doing your fundraising, and you're giving people some really good music, like our jazz station here down in Sacramento. But it's NPR, when I listen to that, when I listen to the underwriting and the shape that the news takes, that really scares the tar out of me. Well, I sat down and made a song up about that. Let's listen. First of all, let's listen to a new friend of mine, Jim Lyle, a cowboy poet from over in Lake County. And he made a little poem called Expletive Deleted. And then let's go into this song I made up called The Talkin' NPR.
Expletive Deflated. I learned the art at a master's hand. My grandpa cussed a bit with unrepent. He'd commentate on body parts and on your lineage, too. Then he'd petition heaven's wrath and all the devil's crew. There was no waste he would not name comparison in point to illustrate your meanest fault or character anoint. But there was one he seldom used. He kept it close reserved, and any time it passed his lips, his F was well deserved. And now I hear the poets read, I marvel at their touch. It's F and this and F and that and F you very much. I am besieged with effing F's, and though no neophyte, I'm growing numb. I do not stun. Their language loses bite. I wonder why it satisfies. What does it really plead? Is this just advertising for their body's effing need? I like it best my grandpa's way, and so I think should you. Some words are best used sparingly. You disagree? F you.
I turned on my radio, spun the dial, thought I'd listen to some news for a while. I grabbed the knob, spun it around, got NPR. Here's what I found. Real news? Hardly a trace, just one damn marathon marketplace. The Nasdaq's up, the Dow's in the cellar, and NPR sold out to Rockefeller. Hostile takeover. Real hostile. Well, I hear about all the antitrust and all the day traders who bit the dust. Mergers, buyouts, and acquisitions. Low-down crooks in high positions. Wheelers, dealers, and CEOs fired and paid off through the nose. Buying yachts and fancy homes with the bailout money from the savings and loans. And I get pissed off, that is. It's dot-com this and dot-com that. The underwriters are getting fat on airwaves stole from you and me by a bunch of thieves called the FCC. They don't give a damn what we want and need. They've all caved into corporate greed and sold us out to the ruling class. Well, the whole damn bunch can hit kiss my dot-com. This is a family show, folks. FCC says watch your language. English. What's yours? I got tired of being treated like a veg, so I called up the station and canceled my pledge. In a mighty act of liberation, sent the money off to my community station. I said, I love you, but if you blow it, I'll sure as hell let you know it. I'll knock the radio off the shelf, buy a transmitter, and do it myself. Whitebeard the Pirate. This is radio station HOBO, broadcasting on a vagrancy of 60 to 90 days, signing off for now. All right, there you have it. That's exactly how I feel about it. Well, now, I mentioned earlier we're going to listen to some Kenny Hall. You know, I've played Kenny Hall and his Happy Neighbor Club. That was the name of that tape that he made many years ago as intermission music ever since we started this show. That's about 71 or 72 shows ago. But I've hardly ever played Kenny Hall himself. He made a record for Bay Records a long time ago with the Sweets Mill String Band. So, yeah, let's listen to Blind Kenny Hall singing Old and Gray.
You will come, you'll be old. say that's not so strange. In shackles they do toil, those children they do spoil, and for them many times they do pray. For he and his faithful wife were toiling all their lives to find their own and only in the way. Now let us cheer them on, for they won't be with us long. Don't quarrel with them because they're
Well, now you've heard it. Kenny Hall from Fresno, California, and the Sweet Smell String Band. Kenny used to play, well, he played all over around there, and he wandered too. Kenny could walk 80 miles of game trails up through the Sierra and never get lost. He'd been known to climb onto a freight train. An extraordinary human being, blind since birth, a great musician. He used to play at a bar there in North Sanger, south of Fresno, called Pierce's Park, Pierce's Bar. That was Otis Pierce. I knew Otis as an old man, dyspeptic, difficult, heart of gold old man. A rough bar, too. Remember, I invited Otis to come up and play at the World's Fair when I was working at a folklife festival in 1974. It was hard to get him up there because they wouldn't let him on the airplane because he always carried a derringer in his pocket and he wouldn't leave home without it. So they had to disarm him to get him on the plane. Otis Pierce shot at me two times through the back wall of a barn, a little barn we had set up for people to sing in. It was little Jimmy and me. Jimmy was the son of the knife maker who was making knives there at the Folklife Festival. Little Jimmy and me had a long wire, a coat hanger, and we reached through the cracks in the barn to fuss with Otis Pierce's hat while he was singing. Well, talk about learning your lesson the hard way. He pulled out that derringer and fired at both of us two times. I've got the board. I've still got the board with the holes in it. Of course, I had to lie to the director of the festival and say it was all set up and they were only blanks because I didn't want to get Otis arrested. I guess it's that evening at dinner, I thought that his penalty for this offense was rather severe and decided to illustrate a more sensible penalty, and I kind of hit him in the face with a plate full of mashed potatoes. Well, that sure did make him mad, cold mad. It was Jim that told me Ringer was with us. He said that he was going to send his boys up to bump me off. Well, Instead, Otis has this big chair that Alvy Marcellus was making for me. Alvy Marcellus was with the logging rodeo he had. He was a top logger, and he practiced what I think is the principal oxymoron, chainsaw art. And he was making this big throne-like chair out of a log, and Otis stole the damn thing just to get even. I thought that VW bus was riding rather low, and he and Jim pulled out of the place. He called me on the phone. Said, I've got a damn nice chair down here. I put casters on it. It rolls around real easy. When are you going to come down and play my bar? I never did, and he passed away. Now, I don't know. This tape came again, dropped out of the sky into my box here at the radio station. The only time Kenny Hall and Otis Pierce ever played together. This tape had been buried in a landfill, and Joe McHugh, bless him, reconstructed this tape and rewound it. And so for the first time, going to have a chance to listen to Otis Pierce and Blind Kenny Hall. Here's the East Virginia Blues.
I was born in West Virginia, South Carolina, where it goes. in the army, a cute little lady, and her name I do not know. I don't want to read that gun. Oh, I don't want your watch and chain. And all I want is your love, darling, and won't you take me back again? I have loved her since I met her, more than anything can tell. And if you learn to love another, I will say you farewell. I don't want your green back dollar. Oh, I don't want your watch and chain. And all I want is your love, darling. And won't you take me back again? My father says he cannot marry. My mother says I never do. And if you learn to love me, darling, I will run away from you.
I don't want your greenback dollar.
Oh, I don't want your watch and chain. It's all I want in your heart, darling. I'd rather be in some dark hollow where the sun don't ever shine. When you promise me some good luck, darling, can't you promise you're mine?
I don't want your greenback dollar.
Oh, I don't want your watch and chain. It's all I want.
Well, now, was that Larry Hanks singing the bass on that? I don't know. Pierce's Park, that was the roughest bar in North America. I mean, he'd have the bikers in sometimes, and then he'd have the loggers from the Sierra in sometimes, and if they happened to show up all together, he wouldn't try to keep a lid on it. He had a barrel full of axe handles, and he'd pass them out, and they'd go at each other, and there's Kenny on the stage. Of course, he couldn't see what was going on, just playing to beat the band while the chairs were flying through the air and the bottles were flying. People were yelling and screaming. Ah, Pierce's Park, damn. Well, let's close out with Kenny Hall. And one of the songs, he loved this song, and he used to play that at Pierce's Park all the time. There's only one line in this song. It's Angeline the Baker, so you can sing along. It's a rollicking tune. You can dance around the kitchen, dance around the living room. You can even break up the furniture for all I care. Hell, doesn't matter to me. Let's listen to Angeline the Baker, Kenny Hall.
Let's go to the bakery, boys.
Angeline the baker, Angeline the baker.
Well, I have had a whale of a good time today. You have been listening to Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. My name is, as usual, Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest. Stephen Crane. In the desert I met a creature, naked, bestial, who, squatting on the ground, held his heart in his hands and ate of it. "Is it good, friend?" I asked. "It is bitter, bitter," he replied, "but I love it, because it is bitter, and because it is my heart. If I should cast off this tattered coat and go free into the mighty sky, if I should find nothing there but a vast blue, echoless, ignorant, what then?